that you are inviting the spirit of whatever you're wearing into your home, that you're inviting the demonic presence of whatever article of clothing that you're wearing to it somehow assumes its identity on you, and it's in your home now. Welcome back to Meme Lord Monday. I'm your host, Matt Matias, and this show was recorded in front of a live YouTube audience. If you want to watch these shows live, join me on YouTube at Meme Lord Monday Podcast, where I react to crazy things in Christian culture and goof off like nobody's business. On this episode, I'm going to react to some crazy Halloween claims that some Christians make, especially by one Christian in particular by the name of John Ramirez, and how a lot of people are basically taking his word as gospel as it applies to how Christians should interact with Halloween, and I share my thoughts on that. Then I react to a video from Ali B. Stuckey of her reacting to a video of a trans woman and her take on motherhood. You might be surprised how I respond to this. All right, let's get started. First, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. This is Meme Lord Monday. I am Matt, your meme lord for the Lord, and I like to laugh and think and just do goofy stuff for people who grew up in the church. And that's basically what I do here. If you want to support what I'm doing here, you can become a Supercast member by going to memelordmonday.supercast.com. I am offering content creation coaching. I've coached businesses. I've coached other creators in how to use content to drive traffic to their page, their websites, or their business. And I have about a dozen people I'm coaching weekly. If you want to be a part of that, you can become a supporter of this show and also be a part of that. Again, that's memelordmonday.supercast.com to get access to that. That helps support me, and 10% of all my support goes to other Christian creators, just like I did when I ran Memes for Jesus. So there you go. That's my shameless plug. Let's get on with the show. Today, I'm talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the church. This is going to be, I really apologize for you Instagram people who are watching right now, because I'm going to be doing a lot of reaction videos that are probably going to only be audible to people in, oh, thanks, man. Wow, I got a lot of people in YouTube right now. Yes, Supercast members get quarterly gifts as well, Kian. Rest in peace, Memes for Jesus. Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, I have a video that I want to react to that you're probably only going to be, the YouTube people are only going to be able to hear. But you'll hear my reaction if you're on Instagram. So first thing I wanted to react to was a video that Ali Beth Stuckey is herself reacting to. And it's in her response to a trans man. And I'm messing this up because I know that you have to be careful. I don't know how to properly gender, I guess, whether or not somebody's a trans man or trans woman. Like, so it's a man that is transitioning to a woman. And so is that a trans woman or is that a trans man? Help me out here with the comments, because I always mess that up. But anyways, this is a video that she's reacting to of this person basically asserting that she cannot wait to become a mother and she cannot wait to have her own children. But biologically, she is a male. And so Ali tackles this in a very interesting way. I'm going to get to that later. Before that, trans woman. Okay, thank you. She would be a trans woman. And so Ali Beth Stuckey is reacting to a trans woman. I'm going to get to that later. Before that, I want to get to a guy that my boy, Inspiring Philosophy, has been tackling, this guy named John Ramirez. He's a former satanic priest. He mentions basically growing up in Satanism and like doing all the things that you would expect a Satanist to do. He says that he got married on Halloween. And he says he got married, yeah, like for the reason of trying to be more satanic, I'm guessing. And he did all the things that you hear people who claim to be satanic do, on Halloween or in their personal lives. When he came to Jesus, or the Lord came to him and set him free, he claims to have died and gone to hell. And not only that, he said he saw a cross in hell and he came back to life. He resurrected. This is what he said. And I wish I could find this clip because I just heard him say it today. And so he's saying because of all the things that he did on Halloween and all the things that you would imagine people are doing and all the things that you've heard people from Gen X and boomers say that about Halloween, that Christians therefore should not partake in Halloween or do the whole candy thing or do anything like that. What do you guys think about that, first of all? And second of all, obviously I'm immediately going to be like, bro, you sound wild. I don't want to go as far as to say to discount everything he's saying. At the same time, it just sounds very unlikely to me that those things happened. I'm just going to tell you because I've heard preachers say, I went to heaven. And I, like Jesse Duplantis, for example, he's a very mainline prosperity gospel televangelist. And he has said, I read his book about him going to heaven. I read it. And he said, he went to heaven. And he stepped on the flowers and they were like rubber. They bent and then they came back like they couldn't be killed or something like that. Like just bizarre stuff. What are you talking about, dude? That's goofy to me. It just doesn't seem logically coherent that somebody's going to go to heaven and then come back. Because first of all, we really don't see that as something that would happen in scripture. Like people going to heaven, like if anything, scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. But I guess you can exegete that in different ways to say that. Yeah, that he was with the Lord. Another part of his book, he mentions, I remember saying that he fell before the Lord, like actual God Almighty. And he said that that God's pinky moved a little bit and sent an angel flying against the wall or something. I don't know, dude. It seemed more like a movie. When you live like a movie star, these things happen. It's giving Book of Thomas vibes. Yeah, like goofy stuff. And so when I heard this guy, John Ramirez, saying this, that's the same exact energy that I got. Like the same type of vibes that I got from Jesse Duplantis when he was talking all that stuff. Because it was extremely descriptive. And whenever you, like in scripture, whenever you hear things like that, it's more like metaphorical almost. Hey, what's up, kayfabe? Theophrasy says I significantly doubt people experience heaven or hell outside of eschatological resurrection. Yeah, that's how I feel too. It feels like cap to me. Feels like cap to me. Basically, for those of you who are older than 20, that means. It feels like somebody's lying. And so because of this, as a result, the reason I wanted to talk about this is because not only is he making claims like that, but he's also making other claims where he's saying that if you dress up on Halloween, that you are inviting the spirit of whatever you're wearing into your home. That you're inviting the demonic presence of whatever article of clothing that you're wearing to it somehow assumes its identity on you and it's in your home now. And it just seems so far-fetched to me. But this is the type of like spirituality and demonology that a lot of older people will assume in the church, unfortunately. But like you don't really see evidence for this in scripture, in my opinion. I mean, if I'm wrong, please correct me. I'm just a dumb meme lord. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about Halloween. Yeah, inviting. So if you're wearing a taco, you're inviting a taco demon. If you're wearing a Buzz Lightyear, you're inviting a Space Ranger demon. And if you're wearing Little Mermaid, you're inviting a fictional aquatic humanoid. It's here. The dude from that one movie. I don't even know the name of the movie. I think the movie was just called Fish. I'm inviting the demonic spirit of Elsa from Frozen. It's my bro. That's so goofy, and people live like this. I'm gonna invite anime cat girls. Somebody, Micah said, I'll take the Flash as my roommate. Of course. Oh no, I can't say that. Jonathan, you wild, bro. But yeah, these are things that he's saying. They're just off the wall. And this guy, I'm just looking for him. Let's do this, because I know you guys can see my screen. Let's do this. Instead of reacting, because you can't hear, let's just do a, John Ramirez. The internet is more accessible than it's ever been. And with that has come an absolute pandemic of people addicted to pornography. This addiction statistically is affecting Christians and non-Christians alike. It's a problem. Porn is a human problem, but Covenant Eyes provides a human solution. Covenant Eyes helps you and the ones you love live porn-free through transformative accountability relationships. With Covenant Eyes, you choose someone that you know and trust to walk with you as your ally and to hold you accountable for your online behavior. Me and my friends use it, and I've seen it firsthand break the bonds of addiction in people's lives. This stuff works. So basically what you do is you download the Covenant Eyes app, it tracks the activity on your devices, and your friend, who's your ally, gets a victory app which shares your activity feed right to their phone. You and your ally will be able to celebrate victories together and have honest and caring conversations about your successes, setbacks, and triggers. Nothing works better than this. If you struggle with pornography addiction online and you're ready to see some victory in your life, download Covenant Eyes and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Try it out. I've gotten so many success stories from this app, and that's why I'm so happy that they've chosen to sponsor Meme Lord Monday. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. Use the link in the show notes of this episode and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Victory over addiction has never been easier. Look at where this guy's been. Okay, first he has his own, like, first of all, boomer title. The title of his video is a website. The boomer. Oh, man. Second of all, okay, look where this guy's been. He's been on CBN. Of course. 100, Huntley. 100, 319,000 views. 2 million views. The Huntley Show, I don't know what that is. 700 Club, 12K views. Another 2.5 million views. The Way Church Outreach. Like big views. He's on Creflo Dollar's church. Almost 1.5 million views. Another 1.3 million views. Like, this guy is getting some serious clout. And you hear the stuff he's talking about. Another one, 1.4 million views. Reveals the secrets of the underworld. You have legal, see, here it is, legal rights. You are giving Satan and his demons legal rights over your body. Can we talk about that? What? Yo, how flimsy is your Christianity that if you're putting on a costume that the blood of Christ is somehow overridden and now your identity in Christ is no longer found in Christ, but you're the spirit of Buzz Lightyear is now in charge of your life. Bro, this is objectively bad. Y'all be sure to slap that like button. Yo, that's goofy. That's insane. The legal right? What legal right? Beelzebub showing up to my house with legal court documents. That's incredible. I want to hear what you guys think about that. Like, you guys are giving me hilarious comments, but like, if you wear a costume, is that somehow giving your identity? Is that somehow giving your identity over to that thing? I don't see any. I just don't see any evidence for that in scripture. I don't see anything at all. But so the thing is, like, our parents will hear this, or like uneducated Christians will hear this, and they will say, therefore, you should not be dressing up and handing out candy in church parking lots. He even condemned churches that did trunk or treat because of the costumes that they're wearing. I don't know, guys. That's crazy to me. I understand the trepidation, and I would understand why he is disgusted with the practice of Halloween because of all the similarities that he experienced in his own life. But that doesn't necessarily entail that Halloween itself is evil, in my opinion. In fact, like I mentioned before, my boy Mike Jones, he has said that Halloween historically is actually more Christian than it is anything that's in relation to pagan. All Saints Day, and we have, you know, the Reformation Day. So it's like dressing up and doing and giving each other candy is definitely more like a Western American type thing. And I'm not trying to be like the authority on this because I'm super dumb, but yeah, saying that you are giving your identity over to the spirit of whatever, dude, that's beyond goofy to me. Okay, let me read some of your comments. Yeah, he took his personal convictions to the max. That's a good comment, Rafi. Let me see here. Kian just said, "I just hate getting dressed up." Under penal substitution, Jonathan says, "Under penal substitutionary atonement, it's not just a sequestering of God's wrath towards sinner, but it is a legal transaction declaring not guilty." Yeah, absolutely. So, like, for that guy is saying that a costume can negate God's own atonement. Actors put on costumes when they're portraying these characters. Does that mean they can't be Christmas because they're doing their job? Oh my gosh! Like Santa Claus, the spirit of Santa Claus. Ho ho ho, guys! Help me! Ho ho, help me! Oh no, that's so dumb. I am against some costumes because of obvious reasons. Yeah, you know what? There are some costumes that are like intentionally trying to be demonic, and the intention there is to be demonic, and that's where I think it gets into like the red line, where it's like, okay, dude, you're obviously going for something here. I get that. Your identity cannot be replaced in an aesthetic unconsciously. Oh, your identity cannot be placed in an aesthetic unconsciously. You got to be patient with me, guys. I got some crazy dyslexia, so when there's too many words, I have to unscramble them. Okay, Jonathan says, whether or not that transaction can be revoked depends on other theological commitments you have. Yeah, this makes no sense. If a new character costume is created, is a new corresponding demon created? Yeah, great. That's a great point, man. Like, how it, in what way, in where in your demonology does what you're wearing correspond to a demon? Is the demon already existing? Are you creating a new demon? Like, how many demons are there? My Ouija board sent me here. Okay, Andy. Oh, man. What about dressing up for your job? Yeah, with that, is that a costume? Dressing up as a doctor, a lawyer, firefighter? The spirit of firefighting. Oh my gosh. Yo, I'm dead. That's crazy. Okay, here's another thing he mentioned. I just thought about this. He also condemned the movie Hocus Pocus 2 on Disney Plus because the words Hocus Pocus are actual he says they're actual spells or something like that. And he's like, if you say the name of the movie or whatever, you're invoking the spells because the Bible says that in the mouth, in the tongue, there's power and life. And it's like, that just makes Christian freedom and liberty so flimsy to me. If you can't even say a word, you know, unintentionally, imagine saying the word unintentionally and just being in completely possessed by a horde of demons. Like, how goofy is that? That this just feels like absolute fear-mongering to me. And I can't understand why Christians would like to live like that. And it definitely gives Christians a bad name to make it seem like, why would anybody want to be a Christian if the things that they wear somehow override their entire epistemology, I guess, or their entire framework of belief? If it's a SpongeBob, it's good, but I guess it's on the use of the costume. Okay, so Falcon's saying, like, if you're dressing up as something innocent, you can have a decent costume and use it in the wrong way. I'm not sure what you mean by that, to be honest. I just don't think it follows logically to say that if you're wearing something that is innocent, not something that is intentionally trying to be demonic, but something that is innocent, like a cartoon character, a fictional character, and you're not wearing it with the intention of harmonizing spiritually with that character, I don't see the harm in that, personally. Like I said, tell me if I'm wrong, tell me if you disagree, I don't mind. It's true. I just said it, and now my kid is floating. Help! That's hilarious. But anyways, so that was the first thing I wanted to talk about. Just some goofy Halloween stuff. So if you can't already tell my position, I don't mind getting candy and dressing up in a costume. In fact, here I'm going to do a rare family pick for those who are watching on YouTube. And yeah, we got some candy. He got a lot of candy. And it was adorable. And that's what we did. So I got a little gut in the Spider-Man. I got a little gut in the Spider-Man costume. But I was Miles Morales. So, you know. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What do we got over here?
How is celebrating Halloween makes more Christ-like? I'm not sure what the question is. Like, somebody's saying, how is celebrating Halloween more Christ-like? I don't see how it's not Christ-like is really the argument that I'm presenting. And celebrating Halloween. So I understand what some people think and how they feel when those words are together. Let me see if I can fix this a little bit. I understand, why some people get triggered by that sentence, because what they're hearing is, you know, I'm celebrating something that's evil. I'm celebrating something that has to do with the dead or demonic things. But this is how some people have practiced it. But historically, it's not really, I don't know what's going on. Historically, to my understanding, I think some people are equating it to a practice called Salmon. And there's really no connections there, apparently. I would recommend checking out my boy Inspiring Philosophy. He's done an entire study on this, and dressing up in costumes and giving each other treats is almost purely a Western thing. And some satanic people who are like or Levian Satanists or something like that, they'll take it to the next level and they'll celebrate it as the Day of the Dead. But there's really no correlation. And if anything, historically, Halloween is more in origin like a Christian celebration, All Hallows Eve, or like I mentioned earlier, like the Reformation, Reformation Day. Hey, thanks, Taylor. What up, Salo? Yeah, some people are like, how is celebrating Halloween Christ-like? I think I just gave a good argument. Let's see what some people are saying. Oh, wow, great argument. Vine's Design said, in my opinion, if we hold that Halloween must be avoided due to its history, then we should also be in favor of the Aunt Jemima change for the syrup, because basically it's like what that's called is a genetic fallacy. It's like if something began a wrong way, and I'm probably going to mess this up too, you're saying something is wrong because of the way it began. But this doesn't even fall into that, because as I mentioned, Halloween, in its origin, the way that we're celebrating it now in America, in Western society, it's not inherently something that's supposed to be evil. It's something that's like supposed to be more of a silly celebration in an exchanging of gifts. If you want to get the one-on-one coaching for meme creation, great question. Go to, after this, you can go to my profile on Instagram and go and become a supporter on my Supercast. Or you can visit MemeLordMonday.supercast.com, and you'll see the tiers. I have three more slots available for the $2 coaching. I'm only letting 10 people in at that price, $2 a month, and you'll get weekly coaching. For one-on-one coaching, I'm doing that for as little as $5 a month. And then my higher tier, like $20 a month, I will do more intensive coaching or whatever's needed there. And I'm doing that for some of my dudes. I think I'm doing that for about like a dozen people right now. So I would greatly appreciate the support. 10% of your support goes towards other creators. And that's just how I've always done it. So not only are you helping me, you're helping yourself and you're helping other people. And that's just the way I like to do things. Anyways, thanks so much for the question. Taylor says, my philosophy is if you want to see the evil in everything, you'll find the evil in everything. Take it back and look for the good and focus on being the light. Halloween is an opportunity to meet many people in your city. Take that opportunity to shine light in the community and look for the good. Love it. Thank you so much, Taylor. That's wholesome. All right, let me back up and see what y'all are saying on YouTube. There's definitely something to be said about dressing up in particularly dark, bloody, and demonic looking things. I would say that would be, yeah, and I mentioned that earlier, Brendan. Like, if you're intentionally dressing up to be demonic and nasty and just dark, I know there's some people that go crazy with the whole like zombie thing. When I went trick-or-treating, there was this one guy, excuse me, when I went trick-or-treating this last time with my son and my wife, there was this guy who did this projector on his house, and it was like these nasty zombies just like trying to break out of his house or something. But it was gross. It was like all these nasty sounds, and I didn't want my three-year-old to see that, so we like went around. And some people just take it to the next level, but that doesn't mean that just because I'm going to other people's houses getting candy dressed up as Miles Morales, that doesn't mean I somehow am now possessed by this, like by the spider demon, like John Ramirez is saying. Like, that's goofy, bro. Okay. So do you guys believe that people can put spells on candy and items? So I want to get Coach just to listen to your captivating voice more. Oh, thanks, Kian. And here's the thing for the coaching. I'll just like segue quick. If you do come to the coaching, if you join my coaching for content creation, if you can't make the weekly coaching, I have a playlist on this YouTube that is unlisted that you can have access to and watch all of my coaching from every week. So there's a humongous backlog of coaching. Yeah, I hate gross aesthetics too, man. Okay, so I'll get back to your question, Falcon Bread. That's a great question. So like, I think we have verses about this in scripture. Give me a moment here. Because essentially what you're saying is you think people can put spells on candy and food. This is like food that's been brought before idols. It's basically the same argument concerning food that's been sacrificed to our idols in 1 Corinthians 8. Let's read it. I didn't want to be this guy, to be honest. I wanted to be more goofy, but let's do it. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. Oh, snap. We could go, I could turn back into a minister just with that sentence alone and address some of the goofy convictions that people have. But the thing is, like, I want to respect people's convictions, really. But let's just look at what scripture says. If you're a Christian, you want to know what scripture says? Here we go. And that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or earth, as indeed there are many gods, quote unquote, and many lords, quote unquote. I got to switch screens here. Yet, come on, dyslexia, help me out. Okay. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we did not eat, and no better if we do eat. So I'm not going to get into all like the exegesis and crap. I'm not going to be that guy. But yeah, let me just go back here. But basically what it's saying in scripture is if you're a Christian and you eat the food, it's not going to do nothing to you. Paul's like, relax. Chill, bro. Oh, man. Thanks, Ape. It's like, you know, when you eat something, it's not going to change your identity in Christ. Man, this dude's saying that, like, if you wear something, it's going to change your identity. And the Bible literally says, if you eat something, it's not going to do nothing to you. Which I think, if anything, has more, you know, of an assumption into who you are, like your personhood, the stuff that you eat. But I could be wrong there. It's like, we could get into that as far as like, you know, whether you should or shouldn't, because there are people that are convicted, and the scripture said that is like, if people are convicted about it, then you shouldn't eat it. And if it defiles your conscience, don't eat it. But if, you know, keep in mind, you're not going to be worse off if you eat it or you don't. And there's not going to be any gain or any harm to you. It's just food. And so I think that scripture is pretty clear on that, that we don't need to stress ourselves about that and have that anxiety weighing on us. One of the things that I'm really against, like adamantly, as a Christian, is like a legalism that is so like dense, not in the sense that it's like stupid, but like a very type of a legalistic thinking that is so saturated in one's mind that it adds a layer of anxiety to your life where you just can't do anything because everything's demonic or everything somehow permeates your Christianity and like Christian memes are unchristlike. Some of these Christian memes are killing your faith. Like, bro, memes aren't going to hurt your faith. A Snickers bar is not going to hurt your faith. You dressing up as Elsa is not going to somehow remove the atonement of Christ from you. Like, come on. These are unnecessary stressors and anxieties, I think, that we put on ourselves and the church encourages and perpetuates and makes, you know, the witness of being a Christian even more cringy. And I'm against that. I'm totally against all that stuff, all that noise. Let me see here. I got some comments on Instagram. So what you're saying is I can eat 10 hot and readies a day and still be saved. There might be some other questions if you do that. This is like the current argument that because people who've come out to New Age and the occult are convinced and don't celebrate Halloween, that means no one can. Yeah, that basically it's people shoving their convictions on other people. Here we go. Terrible Christian Memer says, I feel like if we elevate the fear and possibility of items getting cursed, is strange for Christians. If you believe Christ is supreme and is Lord over your life, you shouldn't have to worry about that. I agree, because like it's literally right. Like I just read the scripture from the Bible that we believe. Like the food's not going to hurt you guys. You heard the man. I'm calling Little Caesars right now. Hey, let's go. Hot and ready. People say Little Caesars sucks. I love Little Caesars. I love it. It's so delicious. Let me see. No YouTube comments. Okay. I'm about halfway through. You guys ready for me to do my my rant? I'm about to do a Matt rant. Everybody who's watching on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to need you to comment if you hear this. Because I don't know if the audio is going to come through or not. But this is my... I'm going to do a Matt rant on... Oh, excuse me. You're disgusting. Ali Beth reacting to a trans woman. Okay, here we go.
Now I know I can find love. I know I can still be a performer. I know that I can have a family. I want to be a mom one day. And I absolutely can. And that's why the narrative still has a long way to go, because when I was grieving boy Dylan, I didn't know those things were even accessible to me.
Dylan can never become a mom because he is not a woman. He would have to buy the eggs of one woman and rent the womb of another woman to do what he never can, and that is bear a child. That baby will then go into his arms, the arms of a stranger who doesn't smell or feel like the woman who birthed him, who doesn't smell or feel like woman at all, and will not feel the instinctive connection and longing that a child has for her mother. He will likely go through his process and the hope that doing so will make him a mom, and it will not. Now, maybe he will adopt. That would be better than buying eggs and renting wombs, but he would still not be a mother because he is not a woman, and nothing will change that. Now, maybe he could have been an amazing father. I'm not doubting that he would love his child, but amazing dads still are not moms.
So there, that's Ali Beth's reaction to a trans woman. Now, let me just set this straight. So, like, I agree with Ali Beth's worldview in the sense that I believe that there is no distinction between biological sex and gender. That's what I believe, and that's what I affirm. And so I would be what's considered unaffirming on Christian belief. Because I don't find that, the LGBTQ plus lifestyle is compatible with Christianity. That's my personal conviction. But I've been an advocate on how we as Christians should treat this community. Like the way that we treat this community, even though we disagree with them, we need to treat them better. And the video that Ali is portraying here, she's going hard against this trans woman because... she's saying that she can't wait to be a mother. And Ali Beth is like, you will never be a mother because you're a man. And I get that. And she's upset to a certain extent. However, she is so passionate about her response to this this clip that she is being extremely short-sighted to the fact that there are people who are infertile and struggle the same way that someone who literally can't give birth would. You know, like saying stuff like, you will never know what it's like to have that instinctive longing that a child has for its mother. I mean, that's the same thing if somebody's adopting a child that they can't have themselves. You know how hurtful and ignorant that is? Like if you're passionate, like I get the passion and I get the frustration, but sometimes people are passionate about their cause, but they're not wise about their cause. Like, for sure, stand up for what you believe, but if there's no tact there, you're doing it wrong. And Ali Beth, I'm sorry, you get a fat L for that one, because that was super untactful, super insensitive, and straight up hurtful to not only trans women, because of the tone that you portrayed there, because it wasn't helpful to your argument for, you know, if you're trying to win people to your argument, you have to understand where they're coming from, and you have to speak to them in a way that they would be receptive to. Even if they aren't receptive, at least speaking to them in a receptive and loving way is much more effective than telling them, than screaming your position at them. At that point, what happens is you're talking past the other person. And this is something that we as Christians, I think modern Christians, are really guilty of, like talking past each other. It's really bad. It's a bad witness. It's ineffective communication, and if anything, it's more hurtful and harmful than anything else. So if you're committed to talking past your opponent, you are not accomplishing anything. And I'm all for, like, I think everyone is for being more effective. If you really want to be effective and create actual change, then you are going to be sensitive, tactful, and respectful to your opponent. That's just like the best way to go about it. Especially as Christians, if we're representing Christ and you're trying to represent a worldview that is supposed to be loving and considerate and kind, especially when your worldview says, be loving of your enemies. How much more should you be, you know, when you're conveying an argument towards somebody that you disagree with? You know what I'm saying? I'm obviously passionate about this because I worked in foster care and adoption, and I know people who struggle to conceive, and I've seen people struggle to find a family that they really yearn for. And the way that she approached this trans woman was extremely hurtful to people who have experienced that. Very hurtful. And she doesn't understand the emotional damage that comes with infertility. And she's ranting in the name of, well, he's a man, so he can never be a mom. Yeah, we get that. But what about all the people that you just screamed past? What about the people that can't have a child legitimately? Are they not a mother? Like, I know her argument. I know what she's arguing for. She's saying that biologically that a man cannot be a mother. But in the way that she portrayed her argument, she made it sound like a person who can't give birth is also not a mother. And it can certainly be heard that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not tactful and careful with your words, they can be heard in a way that is extremely damaging. And so I saw very little of effectiveness in her portrayal and her reaction to that trans woman. Because at the end of the day, what is she accomplishing with that video, with that reaction? What is she getting? All she's getting is echo chamber, thumbs up, and hand claps. Who is she talking to? Who is it for? What's the end goal? Is it more pats on the back, or is she really truly trying to enact change for her belief system? At the end of the day, like, what's the goal? What's the end goal here? If that's your end goal, you got to change the strategy. You have to, because you're making Christians look bad. You're hurting people in your own team, and you're hurting the opposition and driving them further away. So there you go. That's my rant. I got mad a little bit because this is something that I'm very passionate about. We need to reflect Christ's compassion towards people. I'm waving to everybody on Instagram. So there's my rant. What do you guys think? I'm done ranting. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Like I said, I'm just ranting here. I'm a dumb meme lord. I don't want to posture myself as like a authority figure. I'm just ranting because I'm a meme lord. I make dumb Christian memes on the internet. Where do you feel like I was wrong? Where do you feel like you agree? Where do you disagree? I would love to hear that before I log off here. Let me know. Ape says, another issue is I find we don't take accountability as Christians enough when we hurt people and poorly reflect God's grace. Yeah, and this is what I'm trying to do, like, as a stupid meme jockey, I guess. I want to hold these people accountable. So I do plan on posting my rant that I just had at some point when I get some time. But those are my thoughts. Those are my unadulterated thoughts. That's my rant. And I think that's how I feel about it. But like I said, I don't want to posture myself in a way that I myself can't have accountability. So if I'm wrong about it, let me know. Thank you so much for joining. Happy Reformation Day, nerds. Thanks, Tim. How do we draw the line, though? Okay, here we go. Sometimes I fear of being too nice and I forget the posture of trying to evangelize these types of people. Well, let's think about what should the general objective posture of the Christian be? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Let's go through them. Kindness, gentleness, self-control, love, peace, patience, gentleness. The majority of those fruits that are evidence, literal evidences of Christianity, of a Christian believer, the majority of them are more meek and tame and humble. Not, not the kind that is in your face being super based, just to get your point across. I don't think the point of being a Christian is to convert a person's mindset to believe the same way you do. Like, evangelism is more about bringing people to Christ and allowing Christ to clean them. You know what I'm saying? We're the fishers of men. We're not the cleaners of men. We're not the one. If you know anything about fishing, like, when you clean a fish, that means that you take the bones out, you clean the scales off. In that sense, like, Christ is the one who really does all the internal work. It's our job to portray God's love. And that's what scripture means when it says they will know us by our love. That's what I think. I know the most effective evangelism that's ever been done to me personally is when somebody's been willing to give me the time of day and actually show care and consideration and love for my perspective, even if they disagree. That's like, we can certainly be persuasive, and we can certainly be posture ourselves in a way that's like, well, this is what I believe, and this is why I feel like it's wrong. But at the end of the day, you're not going to change them. You're not going to force anyone to change their minds. That's my opinion. What do you think? Just a bit confused because I've been watching a ton of street preachers lately, and they're always so aggressive. Yeah, I don't agree with street preachers, man. I did a whole podcast about the effectiveness of street preaching, like in present day. And I mean, I'm sure God can use it, but I don't find it to be an effective witness. And I don't find it to be something that in a modern age that can be done in the same way that it was in like we see in scripture. I think it can be done well. Like guys like Ray Comfort, he kind of sets up like this whole microphone, like multimedia event type thing, like where he interviews people. I like the way he does it. But the type of dudes that are on the street corner screaming at people with no interaction, it like right off the gate, you can already tell they're not interested in any type of human interaction. They're only interested in being heard. And what does the Bible say? Be slow to speak, you know, slow to anger. And we should be quick to listen. So if we are to be quick to listen, then the way we portray the gospel should be done in a way that is in addition to how we are willing to hear our audience. You know what I'm saying? We should posture ourselves in a way that's receptive to our audience. So yeah, I'm screaming right now. Street preachers are so heavy on truth and not enough on grace most of the time. Thanks, Isaiah. Appreciate you asking that question. Straight up, I think building meaningful, genuine relationships with people, that's what Jesus did. Yeah, I think so. That's what I believe. And I know there's some people that would say, this relational gospel, you know, these like they'll scoff at it. That's goofy. That's all I'm going to say. That's goofy. But all right. I've been on for almost an hour, so I'm going to head out on here. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Yo, guys, what's up? Thank you so much for watching or listening. If you got some value out of what I'm doing here on the show, please consider becoming a supporter of Meme Lord Monday. You can do so for as little as $2 a month, and I'm doing all sorts of perks and goodies just for you. If you go to memelordmonday.supercast.com, you can see all the tiers and benefits that I offer. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you on Monday.